Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to This Miraculous Life, broadcasting and recording live from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C., Adams Morgan. I am your host, Sarah Oliveri Olumba, and I started this podcast because I have a belief that life is miraculous and just pretty fucking awesome and amazing and a really sort of mind-blowingly wildly phenomenal thing that we get the chance to participate in. And yet on a day-to-day basis, so many things get in the way of us experiencing it as amazing and profound and miraculous. So the point of this show is to respond to questions and letters from listeners like you to help them remove the bullshit and tune in with the miraculousness of life. And I have my master's degree in the science of positive psychology, and I am a life coach. So I use those two skills to help us tune out the bullshit and tune in with the miraculousness of life, as well as, you know, just my own personal opinions. And importantly, the opinions and expertise of the amazing guests that I bring on the show. And today I have an especially amazing guest. His name is Ashton Moore. He happens to be a dear friend of mine as well. He is one of the founders of Model B. Is that right, Ashton?
That's correct.
Yeah. Can you tell us what Model B is?
Model B is a digital marketing agency. We do a lot of web creative, like brand design, advertising, all that fun stuff. So, you know, kind of a traditional agency, but very digital.
Cool. So a brand marketing agency. Did I get it right?
I would say digital marketing.
Digital marketing agency. Got it.
If you need me to help you influence a large subset of humans or a small subset, give me a shout.
Got it. Digital marketing agency.
Yes.
Cool. So we have Ashton here. Ashton is amazing. And your company is pretty new and you guys have grown quite rapidly. How many years old is Model B now?
June will be 3 years.
3 years.
And we're going to start
Congrats.
June. Thank you. With probably 15 full-time employees or so.
That's
so
amazing. And you started with three of you?
Three co-founders, yeah. Me, myself being one of them, yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. So, and then of course we have the always amazing Alexia Brown, my wonderful studio engineer.
Hi. Always here for you, Sarah.
You're the best. So I receive a lot of questions, not just to the podcast, but also in my life coaching practice about networking. Career is a topic that is on a lot of people's minds. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about how to get a career that you actually like. And, you know, I think most people have a belief that creating a career that they actually like, perhaps especially carving out a unique niche that is not necessarily, you know, just like a drop and drag where there's already a position pre-made that you're guaranteed to get a salary for. I think a lot of people ask me how they can use their network to create something like that. You do need the participation of other humans in order to make a living. I think that's a fact, right, guys?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, or at the very least, they help you shortcut is something that like connections or network can help you do.
They help you shortcut, you said?
Yeah, it can get you somewhere a lot faster if you can make the right phone call.
Right. Interesting. And I guess I say it's a fact because someone other than you ultimately has to pay you, right?
Someone other than you ultimately has to pay you.
Is that a fact?
But I'm not sure what you mean. You mean to make a connection? Do people get paid?
Because basically I'm saying having a successful career requires the involvement of at least one other human.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to, if this is something that is actually going to be money generating for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. It takes a village, I think, with most people.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're working in a very sheltered environment where you somehow climbed your way up a mountain by yourself, which,
right,
which sounds really hard, actually.
Guess unless you're like paying yourself out of some kind of trust fund. Anyway, right. I may be taking us on a vicious thought loop here. But the bottom line is that I get a lot of questions about networking. A lot of people who are like, what is networking? Does it work? Does it even exist? You know, if I am trying to carve something out or trying to find a job, what is the best way to actually utilize the connections and the other humans around me? Am I allowed to reach out to people who I don't know? Am I allowed to involve strangers? So I thought that Ashton would be the perfect guest to help respond to a specific letter that I have received about networking. So are you guys ready to hear this particular letter?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Let's hear it. So here's what this person has to say. Dear Sarah, does networking really work? Do I have to network to move up in the world and have more opportunities open up for me? I ask because after about 2 years at my current job, I am ready for a switch and I don't have any obvious ins or connections to help me get in the door at a better firm. To be honest, I've always scoffed at the idea of networking events, probably because it makes me uncomfortable. In fact, now that I think about it, just talking about work and my career ambitions makes me uncomfortable. This is not to say that I haven't been to networking events. I have. And I have awkwardly survived each one of them with nothing to show for it except some new contacts in my phone that I will never reach out to and 2 hours of my precious free time that I will never get back. I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yes.
I'm actually a social person in other circumstances, and I'm quite good at chatting with new people and making friends. But the whole intentional networking thing just seems so artificial to me. You go to an event, you listen to a talk that you don't really care about, you converse with strangers about that talk, ask them about their jobs and interests, which you also don't really care about, and then you try to insert some information about yourself and your skills, which you hope they will find interesting or useful, but probably won't. Is that about how it goes, or am I doing it wrong? I do have friends who actually enjoy this type of event, which is beyond me. And since I'm actively looking for opportunities, I have allowed myself to be coaxed into joining one recently. I know that I need to use all of the tools at my disposal to find a new position, but I am having a hard time convincing myself that networking isn't just a time sink. Do you think that networking with strangers can really help open up opportunities? If so, how can I get over my discomfort with networking and build new connections to help me with my professional life? Sincerely, Net Not Working. That's very cute. Very cheeky. I love that. Good work, Net Not Working. So, okay, this letter I think is so relatable. I can totally relate. I like the line where he or she says, I can't find the exact line, but yeah. Oh, yeah. Getting a bunch of new contacts in your phone who you will never reach out to and 2 hours of your life that you will never get back. So the key questions to me in this letter are, A, the experience that Net Not Working is having, is this just the way that it is, or is he or she doing something wrong? So I want to talk about that with Ashton and Alexia whenever you want to chime in. And also just this question of, does it make sense to network with strangers, or do you have to use people that you already know? is doing things like networking events simply a time sink? So I want to check in with Ashton and first just see what you think of the experience that net not working is having.
I think it's very normal. I think we all feel that way. I mean, I feel especially the question of, did I just give away 2 hours of time, of precious free time that I'll never get back?
True facts. Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's nothing worse than leaving an event and being like, why did I even go there?
Totally.
And I think one of the immediate solves for that is to just be intentional about your purpose there, right? Mm. Is it to talk to strangers? Is it to, you know, talk to friends, rekindle connections, like whatever it is, it's figuring out in advance what you actually want to draw from it so you can get that before you leave, right?
Right. Can you give us an example of how that would work? So let's say net not working plans to go to let's say that net not working is looking for opportunities in the marketing field and they go to some kind of mixer or happy hour that is for marketing professionals. How could they show up intentionally to that event to ensure that they don't just leave with some random new contacts in their iPhone that a year from now you're like, who in the hell is this person?
Well, so I'm going to step back for one second.
Okay,
and before I answer that question, if you recall when you and I were chatting about this, I wanted to call this segment, I think it was Networking is Dead.
Yeah.
Connecting is the New Black, right?
Yeah. I think you said real human connection.
Yes, that's better.
Yeah.
Thank you for writing it down. But yeah, real human connection. So the first thing is, so let's bear that in mind before I answer
this.
So it's, you know, networking's over and now it's connecting, right?
Uh-huh.
But to jump back to like how to plan for an event that you're going to, a networking thing, a great way to start is thinking about who you want to talk to. Not necessarily the like who, because you don't know who's there, but like what type of person in a marketing environment is actually going to help you.
Right.
So it's almost like if you think of all these networking events or events at all, almost like a university, like you wouldn't just show up to a university on day one and walk into a classroom and start learning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of the same thing. You have to figure out why you're going to a class or an event, like what the point is and what you want to take away
from
it.
Sort of like picking your major.
Yeah, exactly. It's like choosing why you're going there, because I mean, if it's a networking event for a bunch of people who want to do marketing, probably you're going to end up talking to a bunch of people who want to do marketing.
In your same position.
Exactly.
Right.
It's sort of the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So you have to think, like, scratch your head and be like, who is it, like, that you do want to talk to? So who you want to talk to in the marketing world is probably somebody higher up in a marketing agency, right?
Uh-huh.
That'd be a good way to get started.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're not going to be at that event, you probably shouldn't go.
Ah, there you have it. Right. So then, okay, so I love that clarification. So getting clear on who you think may actually be able to help you. Sometimes it might be somebody who's in your same position, maybe bouncing ideas off them, what has worked, what hasn't worked for them, even having an accountability partner. But very often it's probably going to be someone who's a little bit higher up who might have the ability to introduce you to potential positions, maybe even hire you. And figuring out, you know, are those types of people going to be showing up at the events that you're considering? If not, then maybe it's not worth your precious time. So then the next question is, how would you connect with those types of people? Given that, yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. The people who are going to probably spend the most time at networking events are going to be people who need something, not necessarily the people who are going to easily have the power to influence others or offer you something. Is that?
Yeah. And I'd say for the how, like if there's one thing that everybody takes away from this little chat here would be this one, like people call them life hacks, right? I've read this in some book. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name, but it said that if you want to really get something from somebody, don't ask them for it. Ask them for their advice on how to do it.
And totally.
And people do that to me all the time.
Yeah,
like, and it works every time. Like,
totally.
If somebody wants a job at Model B, like they should like reach out to me on LinkedIn and just say, hey, I'd really love some advice on how to get into the like agency world. Like
totally.
The marketing.
Yes.
And every single time I fall for it, like hook, line, and sinker. Even when they're like, oh, by the way, so are you guys hiring like a couple meetings later? I'm like, oh, you know, maybe we are, maybe we aren't. But either way, I'd never say no to somebody when they ask me for advice because it's flattering. mine. I'm like, oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is a good time to put this out here. So something I wanted to mention, I do often encourage my clients to blind, quote unquote, cold call people who they think may be helpful to them, whether it's somebody who is doing the type of work that they want to be doing or who works at an organization that they are really interested or excited about working with. And exactly what you said, to reach out and say, you know, hey, I would be so honored to be able to get your perspective, to learn more about how you got into the field. Would you ever be willing to chat with me, whether that chat be in person, by phone, even via email, if that's mm-hmm. easier for you? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that people respond to that. When people reach out to me, so people also will reach out to me because I don't know, I think life coaching is kind of a sexy profession. Although once you get into it, people realize that they have to work for a really long time before they make any actual money. And then a lot of people are like, F this. But people reach out to me often. And I share this with all of my clients. One of the things that I think, and it kind of hints at it in what you just said, Ashton, one of the mistakes that I see people make is that because they feel sort of ashamed or feel badly or feel like an imposition to be asking someone for help or advice, they attempt to sort of disguise their request for help or advice as a conversation that would be mutually beneficial or as an offer for you, the person that they are reaching out to for advice. And I personally just find that to be really off-putting and sort of tone deaf, and much, much, much prefer when somebody who is interested in, for example, learning about how I got my coaching practice off the ground, yes, or interested in getting into the field of coaching themselves or understanding more about the coaching market in Washington, D.C., I respond so much better when they're like, hey, you know, this is something that I'm interested in learning more about or that I'm struggling with, and I see that you've been able to create something. Would you ever be willing? And those are key words that I tell my clients to use, because I think it implies that you are aware that you are asking someone basically to do you a favor. You're acknowledging mm-hmm. the favor. You're acknowledging, yes, the help, rather than saying, you know, I also have people reach out and they're like, hey, you know, I do this and you do this, or I'm building this. You know, maybe it would be great for both of us if we had a chat and then we could help each other. And I'm like, dude, I didn't reach out to you. I don't want or feel like I need your help. Like, this would be me giving, like, to be clear, this would be me giving away like an hour, 2 hours of my precious time, which I have very little of, to be in service of somebody else who's excited about something similar to what I'm excited about, which I would be happy to do, unless they make me feel like they're not aware that that is what's happening. Can you relate to that at all, Ashton? Or am I just a Grinch?
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, it's very much about the approach. I mean, to be fair, there's no magic way to be a people person if you're not a people person. So,
sure.
So like, step zero, ground zero, like, be a decent human.
Right.
Like, I think that's like necessary.
Do you have any tips for like what the basic steps are for being a decent human?
Well, so I actually did my homework. By the way, for those at home, Sarah has taken her shoes off and they're on. She's her feet up are on the table. so that's what this is like here.
Ashton has not taken his shoes off, but he is politely hanging his shoe off,
yes,
of the table.
I hear it's exactly to put the shoe on the table. But no, in terms of being a decent human, I mean, so I did my homework and I did take, I did bring with me three major steps to networking,
oh, okay,
successfully for you.
Cool.
And the very first one is, number one is to be interested. And so that kind of goes,
yeah,
back, not interesting, that doesn't really matter as much as,
yeah,
long as you're decent. Especially because
good
people
tip
love to talk about themselves.
Right.
They love it.
True facts.
True fact. And so if you can be interested in the person that you're talking to, so let's say I cold message you on LinkedIn.
Yes.
I'm not going to say, hey, like, could we blah, blah, blah. I'm going to figure out something about you that actually interests me.
Yes.
I'd be like, hey, can we talk about that? And by the way, there's some other stuff I'd love to talk about too.
Right.
But I think with, you know, with connecting as opposed to networking, it's people first, always.
Right.
I mean, it's this weird area in between friendship and professionalism that I think a connection really is.
Right.
Because hashtag no new friends, but we all want a bigger network, right?
Yeah.
So you have to start with a person and be like, hi, Sarah, I think you're interesting. What made you become a life coach?
Right.
Like, and, you know, something like that. But you can't make that up.
Right.
Like, you actually have to want
to. You have to be actually interested.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's one. Like, be interested. And
okay.
That actually solves a lot of the problems of other people feeling like you're just using them.
Yeah.
Because at the very least, you're genuinely interested in them as a human.
Right.
So that's nice.
I like it. Okay. Number one, be interested.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it. I want to hear these three steps. Now you've got me hooked.
You want to go through all three?
Yeah, let's do
it. Okay. So this number two is be valuable.
Be valuable.
Exactly.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Well, so the thing is, you shouldn't just say like, hey, how, for example, if I were reaching out to you, Sarah, I'd say, how'd you become a life coach?
Uh-huh.
And then once we got together and sat down and had a coffee, I'd be scouring my brain for any way I can help you.
Mm.
And not a way where you give me money for me to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily helpful today, but maybe a year off in the future.
Mm.
Maybe something will come across my path. At the very least, I could refer patients to you if
mm-hmm.
anybody ever comes to me for a life coach.
Right.
I'm going to say, hey, call Sarah.
Right.
By the way, say Ashton told, like, not because I want some referral fee, but to know that I'm being useful to
totally.
You. Right? So that's sort of that blend of...
So I have a question.
Yes.
So how would that work? So, for example, a lot of the people who reach out to me are trying to build a successful life coaching practice themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably it would be a really tall order for them to send away like precious clients, which they're needing more of,
mm-hmm.
over to me. So that might not be an option for how to be valuable. How else could someone be valuable?
Do you have any hobbies? I'll give you, this is actually another life hack that I have never shared with anybody.
Oh my God.
And now everybody's,
we are so lucky.
Everybody's gonna know I'm busted.
Ah! I'm thrilled.
Okay. Do you have any hobbies, Sarah?
I do.
Yeah. Like what?
I like to go to CrossFit, which is where I met you.
Good. That's true. We didn't meet at the gym. But what else? Is working out, so that's a hobby of yours. Do you like the outdoors or what else do you do?
I would say that working out is definitely my favorite hobby. I've learned that the one thing that I kind of need to not be cranky each day is a good like take your breath away kind of workout.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of it for me. Like I've pared it down to the bare minimum. And if I can have that, then I feel like that should be enough. And then I can spend the rest of my energy, you know, whether it be operating my practice, which is mm-hmm. also very life-giving to me, taking care of the two children that I have in my life, you know, giving time away to friends, family. So that's my number one hobby. I like riding my bike to work.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That also goes back to fitness. So
I like listening to music.
So I've been waiting. I've been hoping you kept talking for a while, and I finally thought of it. Right. So
okay.
So you remember one of our old coaches, Christine Bald,
yes.
who's up at CFNE and Comptchain now. So I know that
which is CrossFit New England
CrossFit
at a
New
gym
England.
Called Comptrain. Is that right?
It's actually a whole other program.
A program called
Comptrain. For the world's fittest athletes. But
got it.
So I know she recently got really into a book talking about how if you don't sleep enough, you're going to die young and be unhealthy, be super sad. The book looks super interesting.
Uh-huh.
I haven't read it myself.
Because you don't have time. You don't.
Well, I read constantly. Just this one's in the queue.
You only have 5 hours of sleep though, right?
Exactly. I have 5.75. But so this book looked really awesome because you're so into fitness and health and wellness.
Uh-huh.
Like, why don't I just send you a copy?
That would
and if we break the veil here, that would make you remember me for a long time.
Totally.
And every time you read it, you'll think of me, and all of a sudden I provided value. That's my trick.
That's true. That's really smart. I have someone who did that to me once. She sent me this Shel Silverstein book called The Missing Piece. One. Yeah, and it was like an awesome surprise. It was totally, and it does make her very memorable. I love that.
You know how long it takes to order a book on Amazon?
Yeah, it takes like 15 seconds.
20 seconds. Yeah. It's so quick.
I just want to say I just wrote that down. So
love. Yeah. Yes, Alexia.
So helpful.
Yes, awesome. I love that. Yeah, I love that hack. That's brilliant. You're
now
so
everybody
right.
knows, like, so it's out there.
Also, I have never done that, but I've been the recipient of it by only one person, and it was so surprising to me. I was like, "What? You sent me a gift?" Like, that's how I felt. I felt like I had received a gift.
It is a gift, but yeah. It's also something that is very personal, right? So, yeah. in order for me to pick a book now, if you just send people the same book, I'd recommend you not take this away from me. Like, don't just leave it with me.
Don't fuck up this.
Exactly. I'm so glad we can curse here, even though I haven't yet.
I know.
But no, it's an important element
of having my own show for me.
I almost asked when I sat down until you cursed in the intro.
Yeah, and then that's like my way of letting people know this is what we do here. You don't have to participate, but I will be partaking.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. But no, it also shows people that you were listening. I mean, it's not just giving them a gift to show that you're valuable. It's showing them that rule one, like, be interested.
Right. Be interested and then be valuable.
Yes.
Okay.
Just provide value in some way. I mean, it can even just be an introduction. I mean, and people who are younger might say, okay, well, I don't have a network that I can open up to people I meet. So how do I be valuable?
Right. Or like, for example, other things that people have done to be valuable to me, people who are interested in being a coach, like they'll reach out to me and be like, hey, this is the type of way that I like to hear it, by the way. Hey, I would love to pick your brain. Mm. You know, that would be so useful to me at this stage. I would love to understand how you turned this into something that was sustainable for you, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Like calls are easier for me because I have like 8 scheduled meetings a day. So I can't always meet in person. So when people give me both options, that makes me feel like they are valuing my time also and understanding like, yeah, it would be great to meet for coffee, but I can't necessarily always do that. So that is something that I value. But then like, for example, something else that people, one person in particular, as you can see, there's like one people who have hacked each of these things. One person was like, oh, okay, if you ever need someone, like I train coaches. Ash and I have talked about this. I train other people to become coaches. They might not want to come through my program, totally fine. But I sometimes need people to basically be life coaching guinea pigs, right? To receive life coaching from the people that I'm training so that I can observe. And if somebody is willing to volunteer time to do that, that's of tremendous value to me. So yeah, you're right. There's many ways to be valuable. So cool. So be interested. I think that's my favorite step so far, honestly. And then number two, be valuable. What is number three?
This is actually the simplest one. So
okay.
We started strong and then we got simple. The third one is just to be dependable.
Be dependable.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's because you don't want, I mean, every single time you ever say something that you don't follow through on, somebody's tracking that somewhere.
Yeah.
Like somebody will remember.
Right.
Great example is like people who I've hung out with a few times at this point. They don't even call me or text me to be like, are you going to be at this place at this time?
Yeah.
Like I just show up and they're just there and we're like, hi, good to see you. Yeah. I know we scheduled this 3 months ago, but I'm very dependable in that way. And they would probably panic if I didn't show up and then call the police, which is great. But point being,
that's how dependable you are.
Yeah. Just to be dependable. Damn. Don't ever go to it like one of these networking events and then promise to follow up with a book.
And don't. Yeah.
Because then you're already, it's not necessarily written off. Like you can always be forgiven. But if you're constantly dependable, like if you let your yes be yes and your no be no, like people start to trust you and depend on you.
Yeah.
And that's really wonderful. So, I mean, it just opens so many doors for you if you just do what you say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I mean, it's so interesting to hear you talk about this because it does. It reminds me of all the experiences I've had of people reaching out to me, me reaching out to people, which is sometimes harder for me to remember. I don't know what that says about me, but and then my clients, and it's interesting because I have some people who reach out for help or advice who are you know, I can just tell that they are super ready to make it work. Great example. This is totally not the same, although it just made me feel really awesome about the partnership. I hope to have them on the show, but there's some friends of mine who have a show called Cuffing Season, a podcast, The Cuffing Season. It's an amazing podcast. You guys should all listen to it. But they reached out to me and said, hey, would you be on the podcast? And their show does not have a live recording time like mine does, which means, you know, unfortunately, I can't have guests who can't be here Mondays at noon, which I understand not everyone can be. But anyway, they reached out to me and they were like, hey, we'd love to have you on the show, you know, love to get the ball rolling. And I was like, great, I'm available on Friday at 10 p.m. at my office. Like, I know that that's probably not ideal, but if it's something that you want to do kind of urgently, I can do that. And they were like, great, we'll be there.
Nice.
And they came to my office. They came with all their gear. That's it was awesome. Like 10 p.m. They were like sitting in my waiting room waiting for me to finish my prior client. And the guy, Rontel is his name, was like, maybe, like, are we sure that this is what she said? Maybe she meant, maybe we got our like a.m. p.m. crossed. And then like I came out at 10 p.m. and they're like, oh, great, perfect. So, I mean, something like that. That just makes me feel, that makes me feel valued, right? When mm-hmm. somebody is that interested in exactly. connecting and
driving
talking
back
with
to
me,
value, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That makes me feel so valued. And what I observe is that there are some people who reach out to me, you know, for help or advice, who seem to have very inflexible schedules. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, but this doesn't like that. It doesn't seem like the right setup here where I'm like jumping through hoops to fit into the schedule of the person who has asked me
right.
for help.
Oh my goodness. Right. Yes,
yeah.
That's amazing. That's an amazing tip.
Yeah. So that, and that happens a lot, right? Like I often feel, and it reminded me of the be dependable tip because I do often feel that my clients who are paying me not an insignificant amount of money to be helpful to them, right? In different ways, but you know, to be helpful to them, that's my career, are just more like, can be more dependable, you know, willing to fit into whatever available coaching spots I have open,
yes.
et cetera, et cetera. Like I can count on them if we're scheduled, and I do. I work late into the evening because a lot of my clients want to come after work. If we're scheduled at 9 p.m., they're like going to be there,
yes.
you know? Whereas some of the people who reach out to me for help or advice, I'll be like, awesome, you know, I'm really sorry, but I have meetings from 9 to 9 today. I'm happy to hop on a call at 9:15 if you want. Like that would be fine for me if it's fine for you. And they're like, great, awesome. And then, you know, maybe I'll get an email or a text or be like, being like, hey, can we reschedule? And when I get those rescheduling emails from people who, you know, in my mind, I'm just sort of generously doing a right. favor for, just to talk to them about information that might be helpful to them, I'm like, okay, we can reschedule, and there's like no measurable punishment for rescheduling except except that the punishment is that I'm probably never going to go out of my way to schedule with right. you again.
Well, let's unwrap that, right? So imagine, so I think people think that they're going to get results from networking way faster than they really will. Mm. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to go to an event, meet the CEO of a big marketing agency, and then have a job next week. Like,
correct.
You may meet their assistant who you schedule a happy hour with, who brings somebody else from the office to give you advice, who
yeah.
like all of a sudden they're inspired by your personal views as a human, and then maybe something happens and a job opening comes up and they're like, hey, person, why don't you apply for this? I mean,
yeah.
Either way, they're going to be, and that's a really simplified version. Usually the steps are much more convoluted, like 7 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But what you just touched on is, so you imagine you're at an event and you connect with somebody, mm-hmm. or you cold call somebody,
yeah.
or cold LinkedIn somebody,
yeah.
and you say, hi, I would like you to be a part of my network. And then the
correct.
Very first thing you do is no show.
Yeah.
Like, why would they ever introduce you to right. somebody else that they know?
Exactly. Even if it's not like a straight up no show, even if they let you know that they're canceling at the last minute, honestly, and I tell this to my clients because I have to, and if I didn't, it would make it very difficult to operate a sustainable one-on-one coaching practice. Canceling 24 hours ahead is just as bad to me as no showing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Because it, I mean, there's actually a huge cost to our entire planet and from those people who no show, like right. massive cost to it. Like, just be the person who shows up.
No showers are costing our planet a tremendous amount.
Yes, yes, they are. So don't be that person.
Right. Right, absolutely. So I want to ask about net not working. Yes. Ashton, do you think net not working is doing anything wrong?
Well, I think it sounds like from the beginning, the first thing, net not working, may spend a little more time doing is figuring out why they want to network and with mm-hmm. whom and to what end or what goal.
Right.
Because you can't, if I were to say I connected to 10 people at an event, how do I know that has value to me unless I have a goal from that type of human I'm right. connecting with? Like, am I trying to increase my political influence? Am I right. trying to, and by the way, I don't do any politics, so bad example, but just like maybe my finance network.
Somebody is.
Yeah, somebody, exactly. And yeah. maybe I meet somebody who wants a political connection and therefore right. I know that person. But point being is like what the point is. I mean, I just went to a conference a couple weeks ago and I had a very clear goal, which is mm-hmm. I want to expand my company more into the association space. Mm-hmm. So what did I do? I went to a conference for associations, for the Associations of Associations, ASAE.
Right.
And I went in and I met a bunch of people mm-hmm. and it was great. And I met them and I learned about them and I know facts about them and I'm going to follow up with them and say, hi, mm-hmm. great. I learned this cool thing about you. Like, you know, maybe at some point we could eventually work together. Or by the way, we're all in DC. Let's get drinks and be friends. Like, let's right. figure out how we all work together.
Right.
But I did that with a very deliberate goal.
Establishing human connections.
Exactly. I was looking for actually two things. Vendors to associations I could potentially partner with, as well as direct associations who, even if they don't want to hire me, I have great advice for them. Mm. I promise, like, with an hour of their time, I can help point them in the right direction mm-hmm. for, like, how they do their association marketing, like, membership, retainment, like, all right. of that stuff. I'll be useful to them.
Right, right, right. And so that serves... So there's two things that serve you. One is having potential vendors that your company can work with.
Yes.
Is that right?
Exactly.
And then also potential people who may or may not be clients, but can sort of vouch for you as a human being.
And I'm useful to them. Like yeah. not, it's not exactly not like vouch for me to other associations that are, I had a client there who was vouching for me, but then also if there's no connectivity whatsoever with a person that I'm interested in, and mm-hmm. I'd like, if at the very least I know if we have nothing else in common, if they ask me for advice, it will be good for their organization because I have so much depth of experience in that field. Mm. And so So that's sort of one and two, right?
So what do you get out of that?
Somebody who trusts me.
Right.
Like somebody who knows yeah. that if I ask for advice and we set a time to talk about it, like I will get on the phone, I will be smart, I will be helpful, right. I'll show up on time. And if it's an association for wind farms, next wind farm project I work on, I might call them for advice, right? Right? Or I might meet somebody else who needs to talk to the association for wind farms mm-hmm. and connect them to that person and just sort of step out of the way.
Right.
So there's value in it in so many different ways, but that doesn't mean that there's even ever direct value.
Sure.
Like it's important yeah. not to say, well, I want clients, and so I'm going to go there and talk to clients.
Totally.
Like, it's awesome if that happens.
Or if this person didn't give me a client, then they weren't of use to me.
Exactly. It's yeah. awesome when that happens. It's the greatest thing. I mean, yeah. right? If we walked into every room yeah. and you walked out with three more patients,
awesome.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. It'd be incredible.
It'd be insane.
But it's not how the world works.
Yes.
Like, you don't get fast return on your connections.
Right.
Like, sometimes... But like I would say you've probably been working on your Rolodex for 20 or 30 years mm-hmm. and people trust you to the point where if you make one phone call or one email, like you can open the door at like anywhere. Mm-hmm. But that takes years and years and years to build up.
Right. And even then, I wonder if people really get to that level.
It really depends on how much focus you want to put on it as well. I mean, I would think of your Rolodex as an asset. So... how much time are you willing to invest in it every week or month? Right. And the amount of time you invest will be like anything. It'll be better if you spend more time on it.
So true. So true. Yeah, you said something else that I thought was interesting about the networking events and knowing who you want to talk to and who's actually going to be useful to you. And, you know, for net not working, understanding what they're hoping to get out of their networking. And one of the things that I often tell people is that I think it's more your time is better spent sort of shooting the moon and cold emailing or LinkedIning or whatever, somebody who is actually really exciting to you, even if they seem like kind of a big deal. Just go and reach out to them with this attitude of interest and humility.
Yes.
And understanding that you are asking someone for a favor or a gift. And I think people vastly underestimate how often somebody like that they're kind of like, oh, I look up to this person, they would never get back to me, will actually get back to you.
Yes.
And then if you connect with that one person, then you've saved yourself a tremendous amount of time and energy that you would have spent connecting with like 40 other people that you actually were not interested in and did not feel would be especially useful to you.
Yes.
So that's something else that I recommend to people. I want to do a quick check-in with Alexia, because Alexia is a young woman who I assume is thinking about the future of her career at
Always.
Times.
Always.
I want to just have a quick check-in. How does this advice land with you? Is anything not making sense? What resonates? What doesn't?
Yeah, sure. So when you had first read the letter, something that stood out to me was that Net Not Working said something about like being in these spaces and having to listen to things that they don't care about.
Yeah.
Meeting people that they don't care about over and over.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome, because it definitely relates back to your previous two episodes about how to find a career that you like, how to get in a space where you are generating things that matter to you. And so I think that everything that you and Ashton have shared this episode makes sense in continuing that of like how to really find purpose
yeah.
in all of the places that you'll be in and the people that you talk to. But also the fact of like your contacts is your asset and things don't work overnight. It's something
yeah.
that helps you ultimately and is always something that's going to be of value, but only as much as you want to work it. I think
right.
that's also incredibly important. So I think it all makes sense. And I'm thinking about how to make sure that I'm always continuously connecting with people in community space. And that's just something that's important to me anyway. But all of this is really helpful. Mm. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. No, I mean, and what I take away from what you just said is, you know, if you're going to an event and you already know that you don't care about the event or the people there, then don't go.
Yeah, maybe go to LinkedIn. Yeah, go hop on LinkedIn and start messaging people.
Start shooting the moon. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, I want to summarize because I think Ashton has shared a lot of brilliance. So the three-step formula that Ashton shared is number one, wait, why am I drawing a blank on number one? Number one, be interested.
Be interested.
Be interested.
Yes.
I knew it.
Yes.
Be interested.
Don't ever walk into a room and be bored by the people you're talking to.
Correct.
Either be interested in their field of study
right.
or get interested in them.
Right. And if you're not interested, then probably the networking is not going to go so well.
It's probably not going to go
well. Cut your losses and
yes.
save some time.
Or ask better questions.
Totally. Totally. I think a great question is asking people, I've talked about this, asking the person you're talking to what they are currently excited about.
My favorite is what they want to be when they grow up.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love it. So be interested, be valuable. Mm-hmm. And we talked about some ways to do that. And then lastly, be dependable. And, you know, I think that there are many ways to be dependable. And I would also add to that being flexible. So be interested, be valuable, be dependable. And what I would add on to that, so let's see, how would I summarize my tips? My tips would be humble. So when you're approaching someone, let them know that you know that you're asking them for something, you know? Let them know, like humble yourself to ask it in a way that you're like, and if you say yes to this, thank you. You know, mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. So be humble. I would say be flexible. So if you are the one who is hoping to get some help from someone, do what you can and not, you know, everybody has demands on their life. You know, a lot of people who are networking do already have a current job, have kids, all of that stuff. But if you are the one asking someone for something, offer them multiple options through multiple mediums of connection and understand that that will let them see how much you are thinking about them and their needs and are willing to be open to what could work for them, right? So like not just offering one time in the medium that you most prefer. And then like adding on to the be dependable one, I think is being willing to follow up with the person. You know, if they don't get back to you, I think people often give up if someone that they're shooting the moon to reach out to doesn't get back to them on the first outreach. And I know because I've done it, but also because in my own networking experiences, I've often emailed people two or three times or called people two or three times before ever getting a response. And you have to kind of assume that they're not ignoring you because you're annoying them or they don't want to talk to you. They're not responding because they're busy, mm-hmm. right? And if you are asking them for something, it's on you to remind them to respond. So Ashton's tips are, number one, be interested. Number two, be valuable. Number three, be dependable. And I want to echo the be dependable. And I would add be humble, be flexible, and be sort of like confident slash willing to follow up with people. Basically, take on the burden of making the connection happen. Like, you take that on. If you're the one who wants to connect, take that on. Remind them. Mm-hmm. Reach out to them a second time. Reach out to them a third time. Say like, hey, you know, I noticed that like coffee dates aren't working for you. Would phone work better? Could I send a list of questions via email? And I'll tell you what, if somebody offers to send me a list of questions via email, I am 100% more likely to find a way to meet with them for coffee in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what would you call that step, Ashton? I don't know how to summarize that.
I think you summarized it great.
Okay, awesome.
It's just being helpful. Like,
be
it's,
helpful.
It's being humble, helpful.
Cool.
And making sure that you're not taking too much of the other person's time. And I did just want to say, I look back at this letter.
Uh-huh.
And it says in the beginning, you know, does networking really work? And am I doing it wrong?
Mm.
And I think the answer to both is yes. So networking really works if you're willing to invest. The thing is, nothing in life is free ever. Nothing.
Right.
You can't generate something out of nothing.
Right.
So it really works if you invest in it and you do it well and you follow the steps that we provided. So everybody grab a pen. The second thing is, are you doing it wrong? I mean, yes, that's a huge yes, because you need to understand why you're doing it and you need to follow the steps.
Right.
And if you do, like, it will absolutely help you find a better career, like help you have more important friends and more important places, and just help you get whatever you want to get done faster.
Right. Absolutely. Amen. Love it. Yeah. And shoot the moon. If there's someone who you think can actually be helpful to them, talk to them. I can't even tell you guys how many people, when I started my career, I emailed them, called them 3-4 times. I just found them on the internet. I was like, this person will be helpful to me and I'm going to find a way. I might even like go to the yoga studio where they practice yoga. So that might be considered stalking. So I don't necessarily recommend that one.
Actually, on that note, there's one last thing to remember, unless you have many more.
No, I don't.
It's remember how you got to where you are. So when the intern from the place that you think maybe has no value to you whatsoever connects with you and asks for a piece of advice or some time or a coffee or whatever, remember that you were once that too. And
true that.
And try to help. I mean, it's what goes around comes around, right?
Amen. Amen. This has been amazing. Ashton, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for your honesty. I feel like all of us, including me, know how to network better now. And I hope to have you back on the show.
Anytime. I can't believe I gave away my book, Chuck.
Oh my God, you gave it away.
I did.
Have a miraculous day, you guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.